I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. Why are you looking at me weird?
This is just the face that I give you anytime you try to sing.
Dang.
Oh, savage like that.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Glix, what is going on?
We have received a signal from a new area on the planet Geekery.
All right, let's see what the planet has for us today.
Opening comms in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, devoted geeks. Welcome to Comm Talk, podcast extension of Geek Devotions, the show from devoted geeks who are devoted to letting know that you're loved. This is episode 181. I am Dallas, and with me is...
Celeste, who's apparently in trouble.
You're not in trouble. I just...
I'm sorry.
...will do my best to remain from singing.
I'm sorry.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about Pokemon, the trading card game. Isn't that fascinating?
Are you done, Marvin?
Head the size of a planet that make me go down the cargo hole. I'm sorry. Head the size of a great ball and make me go down the cargo hole. That's actually pretty small.
That fits. Fit a little bit better, though.
All right. So if you guys have missed it, a couple days ago we announced on YouTube that we were getting into Pokemon the trading card game.
Yeah.
And Celeste, why are we doing this?
We are student pastors at our church, and as a result, we have a couple kids who are really into playing Pokemon the trading game.
Yep.
Trading card game. And so that means that in order to form more connections with them, we are also now into the trading card game.
It's not that we have to, but we're looking for opportunities, and we have more kids coming into the youth group
that are in to this.
Right. So if we can find multiple connector points.
Yeah.
And it will just help.
Yeah. It's like the reason that we got the deer game.
Yeah.
We got it because one of our students was really excited about it.
Yeah.
And then when we told him we got it and that we were going to stream it, he was super excited.
Oh, yeah. And then all the students watched it also.
And they've kept watching our streams.
They loved it. They thought they freaked out about it.
So it's created a... It has. We want to create points of connection. Not that we're getting into things that we wouldn't necessarily get into.
Yeah.
But just that we want to make sure that, oh, they're interested in this. Let me understand this.
Exactly. Now, for context, like, we like trading card games already.
Yes.
We played one particular trading card game for quite a while, and it was just too expensive. For me, it was too expensive.
Yes, because the style you like to play is the most expensive one.
It is. And before people are like, oh, it's because Dallas is so bougie. It's not. It's just, so the game that I played, that we like to play, this format, it was a 60 card set, and you had to have certain things. And I'm pretty good at constructing around that. And I was able to go, okay, here's the patterns. Here's what I want to see happen. And I was able to make stuff happen, even with trash cards.
Right.
This is not me blowing my own horn, but our friend Brian, who has been playing that game since forever, he even commented about how really good I am at it. But because the game operates in certain segments, the format I had, you can only play up to a certain amount. Like,
it's like they keep releasing new new additions.
Blocks is what they call them.
New blocks every month, almost every few months.
Yeah, it's every few months.
And it's only like 30 blocks, 40 blocks. And so would get a card, and then a year later, it would no longer be able to be played.
In the format that I enjoyed playing.
In the format that you enjoyed playing.
And so that was a thing. So I kind of backed out of that. But Pokemon, again, I'm not looking to get competitive with it. No. We're just playing casually with our students.
We don't have time to do anything other than that.
Exactly. So went down and we bought what was called V-Battle decks, is what we called. And it comes with two pre-constructed decks for Pokemon, 60-card decks. plus some bonus cards
mm-hmm.
you can trade in. And yours, well, I say yours. It came with, one was themed around Mewtwo V, which is a specific type of card.
Specific type of Mewtwo.
Right. And mine was based around Melmetal V. And now I'm at a disadvantage of the fact I have no idea who Melmetal is. I don't recognize him at all. Of course, again, I was talking to one of our parents at the church and was like, last time I was really into Pokemon, there was only 151 of these things.
Yeah.
And I was darn good. I recognized them by their outline.
Yep.
I was like, who's that Pokemon? I'm like, that's Snorlax, son. So, but yeah, so Celeste and I, we got these. And we did some unboxings. You guys want to check out the unboxings of what this set looked like. And another thing that we got, go to our YouTube channel. And but we were on the back end of playing.
Yeah. We played several rounds to get a feel for things.
Yeah. So let's talk about it, Celeste. How did you feel about this game?
I think that my method of picking decks, going off what's pretty, is working well for me.
Why is that?
Not that I won against you, but I have some big old baddies.
You do have some big baddies in your set.
That make you go, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was intimidating seeing what yours could do. And like at one point, like Mewtwo's ability freaked me out for a minute.
Yeah. That's understandable.
So now for context, when we played, we played blind first. Like we
knew the basic rules.
Yeah. And we just kind of rocked out. Interesting thing about these V sets mm-hmm. are these V battle sets. And I like this a lot. It comes with strategy guide for these things.
Yeah, it does.
So you go, oh, this is what this is supposed to do. And I want to put this out there first. These sets are perfect for beginners.
Which ironically, we didn't read that until after our first game.
Yeah.
And so we had done some of the strategies just naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the second game was when we really found our groove. Again, not that I won any of these. But I also kept going into it with MTG in mind.
Right.
Of there is a way and a pattern that you go and do everything. And you can't do this because I've already moved on to this stage.
Right.
And apparently that's not a thing in Pokemon.
We think. The rules didn't say it was a thing.
If it's a thing, somebody let me know.
Yeah. Again, we're straight beginners. Beginner noobs. So
I've never played this card game.
Yeah.
Magic the Gathering was the first trading card game I'd ever played.
Yeah. I played this game a couple times back in high school. Again, shout out to my boys, Fish, Spud, and Grant. Because they were my Pokemon battle buddies.
Poor Grant.
Only one without a food name.
Only one without a food name.
So, but I don't recall how to play this game at all. I just don't. So with that in mind, what was it like opening it up and playing like as a brand new noob looking at what we had in front of us? What was that like for you?
I liked that our decks came with the paper playmats because that had some directions. It gave you some indication as to how to set up your board.
Yeah.
How to handle things. Because I've played the video games, I kind of understood certain aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's it is called a board, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You have an area where you can set up to 5 Pokemon
mm-hmm.
other than your active Pokemon. And right. I was like, oh, it's like the ones that are in the Pokeballs in the games.
Right.
So, but it's not a difficult game. The biggest issue for me was getting past the habits from years of MTG.
Yeah.
I was turning the cards every time I attacked. And then I would go, oh, well, that doesn't untap until I get to the next round.
Right.
Not that I didn't like, though, that there's no nope cards.
Yeah. Now, for context, in MTG, there are cards that you can play that basically negate the player who's attacking.
Yeah. And they're in response
yeah.
to what's happening. So you can play a card out of your turn that will go, no, you can't do that.
Right. I want to go back to the playmat because you mentioned how great it was. It explains things for you.
Yes.
To the point that, like, for the active card, you put your active card in the spot that it has for you, and it has guidelines going, hey, this tells you the attack power. This tells you the hit points it has. This tells you, you know, if it's an evolution or not. And again, I can't stress this enough. I love how user-friendly and how beginner-friendly this game has been from opening the sets to like this whole, like opening up the guides and everything. This has been amazing.
Yeah. It's been great. And I will say this. I think that as long as a child can read, they can play this game.
Totally.
So this would be a fantastic thing for parents to do with their kids. So if you are a TCG player, then, and you have kids, you want to get into TCGs, then get them Pokemon. Get them into Pokemon.
Yeah. This is, again, we like card games to begin with.
We do.
Now, there's a specific card game we play that with our family. And then there's
that's a whole headache.
But then there's a game that we play with the students called, we call it Slap. Egyptian Rat Screw is the appropriate, is the real name for it. But
you were about to say the appropriate name, and it's not appropriate, well, which is why we tell them it's called Slap.
I don't know why, but anyway, I don't know why it's called Egyptian Rat Screw, but it is.
I don't know, but when you look it up online, that surely is what it's called.
That surely is. And so we enjoy playing card games. And so having card games, I think, that you can play with younger people as a family, I love that aspect.
Well, and it gives you the ability to talk to people, if that makes sense. Like, I'm a real awkward person. I do not deal with people I don't know well. Like, I'm not the person who's going to be first in somebody's face going, hey, how you doing? What's up? That's not me.
Right.
But this gives you the ability to go, hey, you play this. You want to play a round?
Yeah.
So when, and most card games do that. So you go in a situation where people are playing card games, then you can sit down and you automatically have something to talk about.
Right.
Which can then lead into a better friendship.
Exactly. And again, you're hitting on the head. Like, that's one reason why I enjoy that's why I enjoy multiplayer games, period, where there's communication outside of just attacking each other.
Right.
But like sitting down across from person playing Pokemon, you know, we're going, oh, hey, what does a card do? We're talking about life. You're talking about, you know, you can talk about the experience with Pokemon, what you enjoy about Pokemon, all these things. You laugh. If you got if you're in a group of people who are good spirited, you go, man, that was amazing. You just wrecked me. You know?
Yeah.
You can do those things in a healthy environment.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, there's another game. It's technically a card game called Munchkin.
Yeah, yeah.
That we love because it's hysterical.
Yeah.
Its whole purpose is for you to laugh.
Yeah, oh yeah. So, but it's, how to put this? I love the idea of playing games with people because not only does it open up for conversation, but allows people to put their guards down.
Yeah.
Years ago, we had a small group that met at our house, and we played card games almost every single time.
Yep.
And through it, now some people are like, well, you guys are supposed to be doing certain things. We prayed.
Yeah.
While we're playing games, guards were dropped. We talked about hard situations in life. We talked about drama in life. We talked about how to handle things appropriately. We handled things from a biblical point of view. And that's the thing I think people think. How do I put this? There are some people who think that just because you're having a religious, spiritual small group, that it all has to be the set situations. But sitting down playing games together, fellowshipping together, that opens doors for things.
Well, and it also opens doors for conversations that you might not have with other people because it became, our house became a safe place for several of the people who attended regularly.
Yeah.
And it became a place where they could come and just relax, even if we weren't, it wasn't a small group, even if it wasn't a time frame where they were supposed to be over.
Right.
one of the participants of the small group was having an issue, and she came over to our house and spent the night.
Yeah.
Now she slept in a chair and I slept on the couch because it was one of those things where I didn't want to leave her alone in case she needed somebody.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, but
it was one of those situations. But again, that all was birthed out of relationship building around playing cards.
Yep.
Playing a game. And you know, this right here, this is a fun game. It's some adorable animals on it. But it's easy to understand to the point that you can just get in there and play. I mean, you and I, literally, we popped them open, and within probably 15 minutes of looking at the rules, we're playing a game.
Yeah. And now, some of them, you do have to read the cards carefully.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is why I said your child needs to be able to read and read well.
Yeah.
Because there was, we played an entire game with me using a card wrong.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
It would not have been quite as devastating.
So, well, Celeste, question for you.
Yeah.
Going back to the card game itself, was there something that you did in the game that you were just like, man, I really enjoyed doing this in the game? Like a particular move or aha moment you got me at?
Mewtwo's ability is really beast. Hang on, let me pull up Mewtwo.
Right. Yeah.
I can't do that. There's counters in the card box. Let me pull some of these out, and you answer the question.
Yeah. So my particular set, I have a couple big baddies that do some amazing things, but they require energy, and I have this one called Galarian Berserker, which is the evolution of Galarian Meowth, and it has it for one energy counter. It says search your deck for up to two basic energy cards and attach them to your Pokemon in any way you like. And I love this because he's pretty beastly. He's got 120 hit points on him. And so you happen to have something that didn't do too much damage. And I was able to beef up my bench Pokemon.
Yeah.
So that I could, when that went down, I was able to come in and just smash you out. And then I have this other one that is ridiculous. It's called Unpheasant, and it's two stages up of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And it has this thing called Hurricane Wind. And as long as your coin flips work, I get 70 damage per hit, and it's four flips of a coin. And so it could be great, or there was one time that I was going after Celeste and I really needed it to work and I did 0 points of damage. It's like, no. It was a bad situation for me, guys.
You were not happy.
Right. But like the guys who constructed my set, it was all about being able to get energy to your characters quickly and recover. Like I have one thing that allows me to recover energy from my discard pile.
Oh, nice.
And then, like, I have,
that'd
like,
be handy.
Melmetal, his whole thing is he has Arm Charge, which is, like, it already does 50 points of damage.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I use it, I'm able to get more energy, and so he's automatically upgraded to Mega Punch. So the next round, I just go for it, and I have free energy for the next round also.
And generally, it's a one-shot.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mewtwo V. It's called Transfer Break. Let's see if I can read it in this room. It says, move energy from this Pokemon to one of your benched Pokemon. But it does 160 damage.
Yeah, that was a big boy.
And a big old boy. So, but it was good because, like, there was a point where before I could get up to that level of energy, you had done... where I was like 10 points away from fainting.
Oh my goodness.
Like, which tells you how much damage he had done to Mewtwo, because it's 160.
Yep. Thank you, Unipheasant.
So I was like, that card. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take one of these energies and put it on one of my benched ones that I'm about to use, because I know that this guy's going to be gone my next turn.
Right.
By your next turn, he's going to be gone. But then I did 160 damage. So, oh no, he's at 220.
Yeah.
So it's even worse. The card I didn't get to play that I want to play is we actually have the evolution.
Yeah, which we opened up in a pack.
It was in a pack. Like, what the heck? But in the pack, it's Mewtwo V Star, and it has some crazy abilities that I can't read in this lighting.
Right.
But it's
basically
nuts.
It did some, that one does some major damage, but you have to discard energy.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's the thing is with this game, the energy stays with your characters.
Yeah.
But you have to discard energy, but you can discard from any of your other Pokemon in your bench also.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what's great about your set that I was looking at as you're playing was that it has its own mechanic to quickly get energy to your other Pokemon.
Yes.
You did this really solid thing where you transferred energy to some of your spare energy to another Pokemon right before it took out Mewtwo.
Yeah.
That was genius thinking because that buffed you up and it kept you going for a good limit,
and
too.
And it was one of the Pokemon that, like, it didn't need a ton to keep going.
Yeah.
It needed, like, because some of them don't have the ability to do anything if you don't have multiple energies. Yeah. I will say that is one thing that I didn't care for is that the energy was not universal.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't just go, I'm going to use this energy to do this with this card.
Right.
It stayed with the character, so then I lost energy.
Yeah, that is a thing. So, but at the same time, like, it makes sense to a degree.
It does.
So, I'm going to put this out there. Also, the fact that these are pre-cogged sets, we picked up, we played in 15 minutes, had a great time. We understood them pretty intuitively.
Yeah,
and it's not that we're just like we're just these super brains. It's just like. It makes sense, like, the way these were built naturally. There were precogs of Magic the Gathering that you and I picked up, and it took a minute to figure out how they functioned, how they worked.
And some of that was the fact that the different colors of mana worked differently. So, like, you won't play a green deck the same way you play a black deck.
Exactly. And so, but even still, like, picking up a precog of that game, it takes a little bit more work. This, again, I can buy a precog, boom, play. So, but that leads me to our final discussion point about this whole game, and that is this. The idea of building our own stuff in the future. We're not at the point to do that necessarily. Well, I take that back. We have, one of the things we bought is kind of a, you build it, set. It has a base, and then you have to add 20 extra cards to it. But that being said, Celeste, what is something you would like to build? Like, is there something like you have an idea based around that you'd like to play with?
I want to build a deck around Gyarados.
Okay. I like that.
And now I understand that that means I have to have a Magikarp.
Yes.
And then...
way to evolve it quickly.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how to make it happen,
right.
But Gyarados is my favorite. Also, I want Psyduck.
Get you a Psyduck deck. So I've Hector Mure, who is an amazing individual, by the way.
He is.
He has Faith in Fandom. Not Faith in Fandom.
No.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Faith in Fandom.
Oh, it is. It is.
Yeah. So Hector Mure of Faith in Fandom. He's got like 6,000 devotional books for you guys to go buy and be encouraged and get saved all over again. He messaged me with some practical stuff about Pokemon because he's got a pretty extensive stuff. What's the word I'm looking for? He has a pretty extensive collection. And so he goes, any pre-made decks will be a good start, but variety is a spice of adventure. And having different types of decks really opens up the gameplay. I have, and he goes, the biggest thing is that Pokemon aren't the biggest component of actually playing. Each deck has 60 cards, and you will maybe have 11 to 15 Pokemon in your deck. And so it really is like, get a concept of what you want it to do and build around it. But so my idea is, because I want to have stuff, again, guys... call me basic if you want to. I grew up with the original 151. I have a lot of love for them. I have a lot of nostalgia for them. I want to build a deck based around Goliath. Growlithe, the fire puppy.
You know how to say Growlithe's name.
I don't know why I messed it up, but Growlithe. And I also want to build one around Abracadabra and Alakazam. Again, I just have so much nostalgia for those Pokemon because they were my mains when I played Red and Blue.
Nice.
Back in the day.
Well, and I can see how that would be good because Abracadabra and Alakazam are all psychic Pokemon. Mm-hmm. So you just need to do a psychic deck.
Yeah.
For that one.
So, but I'm going to, again, we're not there yet, guys. We're learning. I'm not going to go deep dive into this thing. However, I did notice, just did a cursory look at a lot of what the pricing of these Pokemon cards. A lot of them are stupid cheap. Mm-hmm. We're like 2-3 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't be hard if, again, we're not looking to be competitive. I'm not going to have a set that's going to be, you know, I'm not always going to be keeping up with stuff. But I can find some stuff that I would enjoy, and then we can play with the kids and have some fun.
Yeah.
So you want to build yours around a Gyarados.
Yeah.
So my question for the listeners who are Pokemon players, what would you recommend for Celeste? What cards would she need for that? And what would you guys recommend for me? So, Celeste, you got anything you want to add to this conversation?
No, I think we're good.
One last final question.
Okay.
Did you have fun?
Yeah. I always have fun when you and I play games, but right. I had fun with the game.
Yeah. I'm genuinely looking forward to playing with the students.
Yeah, I am too. We're going to have to do a card game night.
Yeah, something like that.
At our house.
Yeah. All right. Well, Celeste, it is Anime April.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why this is part of the conversation, because Pokemon's an anime.
It would have been part of the conversation anyway.
This past week, you had an episode based off of Marshall, and which is an amazing anime. So I'm not sure yet what mine will be based off this upcoming week. That'd be on something. But I do know that within the next couple of weeks, we will have brand new episodes of The Gundam Watch. Bah, 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 bah.
Yay!
I'm excited about the return of this.
I am too.
So Branson is pretty hyped already.
Good.
So that's what you guys got to look out for. We have guest articles coming from different people. We have one person who does not particularly care for anime, trying anime for the first time, really, and he may be doing an article for us. We have a guest who's going to be on at the end of the month, and he's a really cool guy.
Anime Relatable is his channel.
And check him out.
Check him out. So I think that's all the announcements we need to make.
I think so.
All right, you want to land the plane, babe?
Okay. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Comm Talk today. If you have loved this episode, head on over to Apple Podcasts or to Spotify to rate and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. So until next time, stay devoted.
Peace and love.